Okay, and it sounded like we're going. So, probably have two more studies in the book of Galatians. We're nearing down our study. Think about it during the break. We'll talk about what book y'all would like to study next. But to start our study this morning, as usual, Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen is right. You just all close the book and go home after reading those five verses. Galatians 6. We had a lively discussion last week as we took the first hour studying Galatians 6, verses 12 and 13. And then in the second hour, kind of took that to modern day times. And that got pretty interesting. We're going to read 12 and 13, so we'll talk about that in a second. So let's start in verse 12 to pick up the context here. Galatians 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And that cross of Christ is going to be something we're going to be talking a lot about this morning. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Like I say, between today and next week, we should get finished with the book. So last week we did 12 and 13. Talked a lot about, you know, circumcision, people wanting to glory in your flesh. And, of course, context being the religious world. They want to count you. Let's say, look how big we're getting. Back then, it was circumcision. Back then, meaning 20 years after the crucifixion, when this book was written, Acts 16, 17, in that time frame. And it was all about circumcision. Today, and it's what we did in the second hour last week, just replace the word circumcision with the word water baptism. And you just see all the same applications as the way people use it today, the controversy it generates, initiates.
Confusion.
Confusion would be another good word to add to that list, absolutely. And that's what it was all about, works of the law versus faith without the deeds of the law. Total grace. And of course, that's what this book has been about as we've been studying it. And so we're getting, you know, like I say, we're wrapping the book up here. So verse 14 is our main verse for today. But God forbid, underline that word right there. God forbid. That's a pretty strong word to use. And of course, one of the first places we think about is where that word is used would be Romans. You don't need to turn there, but Romans 6, right at the beginning. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And forbid that happen. That could be anything worse than something happening that God forbid to happen or would forbid to happen. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So the cross of Christ, all right, the only thing we should be glorying in is the cross of Christ. Again, in the context, verses, so strictly the cross of Christ as opposed to glorying in religious works, religious activities, you know, boasting. And now we're going to look at a lot of the passages that Paul talks about in other books, as well as back here. Come back to chapter 5 of Galatians. And verse 11 really sets up our study for today. And I, brethren, if I yet preached circumcision, or today if we yet taught water baptism, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. All right, the offense of the cross, and we studied that in great detail several weeks ago, but it's all about, there's nothing we can do. It's all been done for us at the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, took those sins to hell, and was raised again for our justification. And the offense of the cross, to think that there's anything that we could do to add to what he did for us 2,000 years ago, when he bought us with a price. Scripture, you have been bought with a price. Yeah, his life. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Okay, so the offense of the cross, and that's what we're talking about here in verse 14. People glorying in what they, you know, look what I did. Man, I joined this church and I stopped smoking. Okay. You know, good for you from a health perspective, but you really think that's got anything to do with pleasing God? Some people would answer absolutely. And not true. Not true, as we'll be looking at some passages here as we move on. While we're in Galatians, come back to chapter 2 of Galatians as well. Galatians 2, first of all, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Once again, that was never true until Acts chapter 9. Keeping the law was part of justification up until that time, until this guy, Saul at that time, was saved. Some other verses, just jump ahead to verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If there was anything we could do, well, then Christ died in vain back there. Keep pointing to the board.
Go ahead and draw a cross on there.
Yeah, I need to do that because I'll just do the quick our quick timeline. Birth of Christ, the cross, X, but now, rapture of the church, second coming, at the end of the 7-year period of great tribulation to set up the 1,000-year kingdom. So I dropped it a little bit. All right, but the offense of the cross, when he hung on that cross, he had the faith of Christ, enough faith to allow himself to die, to shed his blood, to pay the penalty for our sins, take those sins to hell. But he had enough faith in his Father, God the Father, to know that he would raise him on the third day, as prophesied, for our justification. And of course, we don't even realize until the book of 1 Corinthians being written in Acts chapter 20, that was a mystery, that he would die for our sins, because had the princes of this world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, so part of, you know, one of those mysteries that Paul reveals in the but now time frame. Okay, so we are crucified with Christ. Like he says in 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Okay, we live today. We keep going on. He doesn't call us out of here right at the second of our salvation. Okay? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, okay, where we go now, I live which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's another of the seven times where the faith of Christ is changed in all other versions of the Bible, including the New King James Version, to faith in. Totally changes. Seven times, the faith of Christ is put in your King James Bible that is changed to faith in Christ in every other version that's out there. It's just a two-letter word, of and in. It couldn't seem more innocent, could it? But anyway, so verse 220 there is just another place there where the faith of the Son of God is changed to our faith in Christ or our faith in the Son of God. Check it out. Remember, one of our three principles of how we study the Bible together, never take what any teacher tells you as the gospel, if you will. Go check it out. Search the Scriptures daily, whether those things are so. I just made a comment. By the way, here's my standing offer. $1,000 reward to anybody that can show me a single change in another version of the Bible that either brings more honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, is more glorifying to God the Father, or is more glorifying to the Holy Spirit, or clarifies the doctrine for today better than does the King James Version. So all you got to do is find one change in one Bible.
Where's this $1,000?
It does that. I worry about that when it happens, I think. Nobody's even tried to bring one up yet. I've come close down the road here, that group that you met.
He's pretty adamant.
He's convinced he's going to come up with one, but he has yet to bring me one. He says, "Oh, I've got several." I said, "Great, bring them up, brother." He has yet to bring one, but he says he's got several, and he uses the not inspired
version. I like that. Sorry to get off track just there, but when I was there, I can't remember specific scripture we were talking about, but he says, "No, that's not right. That's not what my Bible says."
That was a different guy. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I can't remember the scripture.
And that was interesting because it was about blasphemy.
That's right.
And his even inserted the phrase. There, thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah.
We are getting off. But this is, when you go sometimes and study with some other groups, and you get to see where the religious world is, and this is one of the top three denominations in the country, probably in the world, and Protestant denominations. And so we had an opportunity to talk about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost back in Matthew.
That's right.
So back here, you know, this is a time period of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we read in Matthew where it says in this time period. So this is the 33 years while Christ was on earth. And we read back here the passage where if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world nor in the world to come. And so then we got to Paul. So let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 is the verse that we were reading. And this is the first time I heard this thing being inserted. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Such a key verse for those of us that are grace believers, that believe in the dispensation of the grace of God, as it's laid out in Ephesians chapter 3, clearly. And verse 16 says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Actually, this is the last part of the verses that we were reading there, and I thought that's where he was going to go when he said that's not right because they all change that in me first. You know, because that in me first is right there at Acts 9, that's in me first. Saul, on, that's when it happened, what he's talking about right there in verse 16.
He also changed the on him to in him.
Exactly. And that's where most people will take you to hand when they're using another version. Because it says that in me chiefly, or something like that. No, in me first. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe, like you and I were hereafter that. Now, verse 13 is where the change he was talking about. Let's start verse 11, actually. And he said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Me, Paul, right? "Who before was a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now, Paul says he's a blasphemer right there, right? And we know from the story in Acts 7, the stoning of Stephen, that he's guilty of blaspheming who?
The Holy Ghost.
As Stephen tells those people, and he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Why? Because he knows back here in Matthew, Christ himself said, "It shall be forgiven you neither in this world nor in the world to come."
No, I was just going to repeat that.
Okay? So, Saul, and Acts chapter 8, first three verses, said, he's guilty of blaspheming. Acts chapter 9, the beginning, he's guilty of blasphemy. Paul himself says it right here. Would you believe this guy's version, which was the Living Bible, says, "Who before blasphemed Jesus Christ, the Son, not the Holy Ghost." That's what his version said. You wonder why we get on a soapbox about the King James Version. Yes, it matters. And I'm getting more and more into getting adamant about that, in case you hadn't noticed. Because when you get examples like that, the God of this world is absolutely using these other perversions of the Word of God to mislead people. Just like that guy. What did he say to me? "No, that's not right." Yeah. George was there. He heard it. First words out of the 20-25 people in the room.
Yeah.
"No, that's not right.
My Bible says.
Yeah. Oh, that makes it right. My Bible says in verse 13, "Who before blasphemed Jesus Christ." Well, if you go back to Matthew where it says, if you blaspheme the Son,
you'll be forgiven.
You know what? Yes. Let's go back and see it. Matthew chapter 12, or 16. We'll find it. Okay, it's not 16, so it is 12. Yep, Matthew chapter 12.
33.
You got it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, red letters for those of you that have a red letter edition, meaning these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Like most people say today in the religious world, if it's good enough for Christ, it's good enough for me. If he said it, I believe it, and that settles it, as people will say today.
31.
If we start in 31 and read 32 also. "Wherefore," verse 31, "wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." Remember that phrase. "But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him." And it doesn't end there. The next two phrases say, "Neither in this world," right here where they're alive, "nor in the world to come." In the resurrected world. There is no second chance. Blasphemy, you've heard of the phrase, the unpardonable sin. That's it. And yes, it was unpardonable unless things change in the future from when this is written. And as we know, things do change in the future. It's called the gospel of Christ. Where he, Colossians 2:13, "He hath forgiven us how many of our trespasses?"
All.
Except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, right? No, it doesn't say that. It says, "having forgiven you all trespasses, past, present, and future," and all means all. Thank you. It always has, and it always will. Okay, so right there, that phrase at the beginning of 32, "and whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." So now, they've got a way for Paul to be forgiven by what Christ preached in this new version over here called the Living Bible, when they say in 1 Timothy 1, verse 13, who before blasphemed Jesus Christ, the Son. Well, that was forgivable. No, the whole glory of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 is the fact that Paul, being a blasphemer, could now be forgiven. And that gives you and I hope. That absolutely gives us, it just shows us the unsearchable riches of Christ, as Ephesians calls it, back here. The fact that all sins are paid for. That they're the offense of the cross, you know, our subject for today, or a main subject for today, the cross of Christ. And we glory in the cross. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in anything else save the cross of Christ. And yes, we glory in it, because when he died on the cross, he died for all our sins, as the gospel is laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins. Those three words, excuse me, it's quoted exactly right. For our sins. Okay, and he didn't exclude any there.
Well, it's okay to have a crucifix with Christ on it.
Well, we're going to talk about that, actually. You're getting ahead of me. So if I may, ask me that question again in about 20 minutes if I have not yet addressed that.
If you don't have 20 minutes. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so, but that's a religious, and that's where, and I'm not saying this guy is led of the devil because he's leading it, using the Living Bible. And he said, man, I want to go, I don't want to follow God, I want to follow the God of this world, so I'm going to use Living Bible. No, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. That's the tool that the God of this world is using with that man. That man, if there's any man I know right now, especially right now, the last couple of weeks, that is searching. That's why I praise God for the opportunity to get in front of these people. I have breakfast with that man every Wednesday morning, too. And we had a great follow-up discussion as well. And that man's searching, and he wants so much to be good and to not do this and to not do that, but to be saved, and he wants to honor God. I mean, he absolutely has the right intent. How does the God of this world blind that man? By putting the Living Bible in his hands. And just what he said right there. When here we are, you know, we even tag team a little bit during that class, trying to teach people some present day truth. And the first thing he says, no, that's wrong.
What was this?
Right? Tell him where church it was. Because I'm on tape there, I don't. Some days I guess I don't mind, and some days I do. But
you know, on the contrary, that guy had a yearning.
He has a total yearning. That's the point.
Yeah.
And that's why we have got to just get on fire about this. Nevertheless, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, we got to get the word out because people are blinded today. Either they're blinded by different perversions of the word, or they're blinded because they're sitting in a class like that, where everybody in there, for crying out loud, they're there every Wednesday night and every Sunday because they want to learn. But, you know, what are we using there? We're not even using the Bible. We've got a little book here, chapter by chapter. We're going through the Old Testament. Okay, great. We can learn. All Scripture is profitable. Make no mistake. And they are great lessons. That's why we very quickly
it's wrong doctrine
get through
all over
it.
The place. I mean, they're sitting there praying the same prayer week in, week out, session in, session
yes.
out.
Yes. I always wonder, people that live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how do they get past the prayer closet of Matthew chapter 5, you know, and not praying in public and making a big deal about praying and being seen of men? You know, even Christ said, you know, don't do that. Should we pray? Absolutely. But should we make a big deal about praying? You know, should we spend one-third of this class taking prayer requests and making big, long prayers to impress each of you?
And it was one-third of the class. I mean,
yes. Yes. And that's exactly what happens. And they had just got done doing it.
That's why
it was
late.
Yeah, they were 10 minutes late getting into our classroom. because that's what they do in there. They have dinner first, then they give prayer requests with all the classes together. I'm getting off on stuff, but you get the idea. The things that we can get caught up in religious activity, and that's what it is religious activity that keeps us from studying the Scriptures, the Word of God. Remember John 1:1, John 1:14, and 1 John 5:7. This Word is the Spirit. This Word is equivalent to God the Father, to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and to the Holy... As a matter of fact, we're going to read that. 1 John chapter 5, another verse that is totally left out of every other version and perversion of the Word.
1 John 5?
1 John chapter 5. Man. Those pages that just came out. 1 John chapter 5, becoming one of my favorite verses. I mean, it always has been one of, but it's moving up the list.
Chapter 5, verse 5.
1 John, chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. While we're here, NIV, take, you know how they all leave out Acts 2:38, right? Everybody knows that one. That's one of the first places we go. We're showing people that other versions of the Bible leave out verses. And they just go, 36, or is it Acts 2:37?
Sometimes they incorporate 37 into two verses. So they keep
But they
36.
Go 36 and they go 38. They know, or they go 37 and go 39. They know they're leaving the verse out, and so that's they go 37, 39. This one... Here's what they do. NIV, or ASV and ESV, do one or the other. I forget which is which, but here's what they do. One of them splits verse 6 into two verses, so they have a verse 7, where it says, and in verse 6, where it says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. They make that verse 7. The other one, ESV, takes the beginning of verse 8 and makes it verse 7. It says, and there are three that bear witness. Matter of fact, I know for a fact that is NASB and ASV that do that. I remember now. That's verse 7 in the NASB. So they totally leave out the King James verse 7. That makes, like I say, show me a change that brings more honor and glory. How is it more honor and glory to take out a verse that says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. How is it more glorifying to take that out?
No what answer, it's not. Out, what you're taking out is three is one.
Yes.
They don't want that.
They don't want that. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the glorious gospel.
Jerry yes. Just found one verse, so that we have three witnesses.
It's just amazing what they do. I'm actually doing a write-up on this. I have yet to ever do anything in writing. I don't really know why. I do know a little bit, but I'm writing one up on this, and it's actually addressing it to the group that tossed me out of that one study, and because they made King James the issue, and I never even brought it up as an issue in that class, and I'm using that verse right there and showing them what they're bastardization of that verse does in their version. Yes, Pete?
Well, we were talking about that last week, was it Wednesday? The reason they do that is because the King James can't be copyrighted.
Yeah.
And so these other versions, they're copyrighted and they have to be in order to maintain...
Go back to John chapter 1 while Pete's finishing.
Maintain the right to the copyright, they have to make changes.
John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, not 1 John. John chapter 1, the other two verses that really go with this. So, yeah, the Gospel of John, thank you. And you're right, Pete. 1881 was the key year, the year 1881. That's when the NIV, the first version of NIV came out, that went to text all of that. And up until 1881, it was King James only. 1881 was the first... next version that came out, and all the other versions are based on that text. as opposed to the Textus Receptus that King James is based on. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see the equivalency there of the Word and God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 1 makes the Word equivalent to God the Father. Verse 14 makes the Word equivalent to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, there it is. The Word is equivalent to all three. God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Ghost. There you go. And it's just, like I said, it's amazing what versions do with that. Okay, back to our study now. So we're in, let's go back to our verse to get us back grounded. Galatians 6, verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Save in the cross right there. Now, Pete asked a question a little bit ago. I want you to come back just a couple pages to 2nd. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And I'm going to start in verse 14. And Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. All right, Paul and some of the people, and the 12 and many of the early believers knew Christ in the flesh. They were there when he was crucified. Paul saw him. I don't know if Paul saw him for sure right there during the crucifixion, but he definitely saw him in Acts 9 a year later. But, so right here, they knew him in the flesh. They were alive. But he says, now we know him in the flesh no more. And you think about medallions today that want to worship Christ in the flesh. There's one religion that's huge. I guess probably number one in the world. That's every church you go into. There it is, the big cross. Not just the cross, an empty cross, but one with the body. Supposed to be the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross. They worship the dead Christ. And it's the largest religion in the world. Yeah, the one you were part of, the one that my wife was part of, the one that many people in here were part of. I think we figured one time 2/3 of the class has been part of that at one time, of this class. And you talk about a works-based religion. But they want to worship. Well, we glory in the cross, but not the cross with the man hanging on it. No, right here shows us very clearly in verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more after the flesh. Okay? Know we him no more in the flesh, after the flesh. It's all been taken care of. The offense of the cross is to think that there's anything we can do to please God, to gain, to earn our salvation. No, it's a total gift. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what?
Gift of God.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast. I mean, it all goes together. And what do people do all day long, especially Sunday morning? Man, we're boasting. We got to put on our Sunday best so we can please the Lord that much more. Watch him come in a three-piece suit in a little while here. If we're here long enough, I mean, it's always amazing to me. anyway, but we don't worship Christ in the flesh. Okay? We know him after the flesh no more, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Okay? Now, Paul says we glory in the cross, right? Isn't that our verse? I glory in the cross. God forbid that I should glory in anything else save the cross of Christ. And that's exactly what Peter did too, right? Wrong. Okay, Acts chapter 2. People want Peter and Paul to have preached the same thing. This is one that couldn't be more different. Paul glories in the cross of Christ. Peter gets to have his show for a year, for sure, starting, you know, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion. And Peter becomes the man, just like the Lord Jesus Christ had told him, you know, 60 days ago or so, when he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, and he gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound on heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, right? That's Matthew 16. Okay, so Peter now takes over. He's the man on earth. And he's the man. Everybody's following Peter now, as they should have at that time. Acts chapter 2, first time he preaches. And he says, in verse 22, I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, so that we could glory in the cross of Christ.
No.
By wicked hands you have taken him and crucified him and slain him, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Let's come ahead to verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, I mean without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, the Savior of all the world, as he paid for all their sins. No. Let him be both Lord and Christ. And he stopped. He looks back at the cross and preaches a murder indictment. That's how Peter viewed the cross. You guys screwed up. The Messiah came, and you believed him not, and you crucified him. That's how Peter looks at the cross. And he continues this. Acts 3, Acts 4, same things. He's looking back, preaching a murder indictment. Okay, we'll leave it at that for now. But that's what Peter's preaching continuously. So that's what he sees when he looks back at the cross, is the murdering of the Messiah. That's exactly what he's seeing. Where Paul says, God forbid that I glory in anything save the cross of Christ. Because we know now the rest of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's go back there again. The rest of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I will jump ahead to verses 19. And he says, to wit, that God was in Christ. We're talking about that event right there. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's it right there. That's where we get that righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in him because he made him to be sin while he was on that cross. That's how Paul looks back, and that's why he says we can glory in the cross of Christ. Come back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. While you're going there, I just want to read Galatians 6:14 again. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase. All right, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now, who is under the law? Israel, absolutely. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall, how much flesh?
No flesh.
No flesh, thank you. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, and there we go, the ministry of Paul. You know, we have times past. You know, up into here. We have the but now. And we have the things to come. Three ways you can look at. I'm making an application here. Three dispensations that matter to us. Times past, but now, things to come. Maybe there's just two. Prophecy. Mystery. Losing that one. Mystery. And then we'll go back to prophecy. You may get the Bible two dispensations that way. Not really two dispensations. I probably shouldn't have done that. Anyway, two ways to break up the Bible. But everything we're in is in the but now. It's a time of mystery. It was hid before the foundation of the world. It was hid back here. Because, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, had the princes of this world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We'd still be in our sins. Okay. Verse 21 now, Romans 3, 21. Where are we, George?
Four, six.
I couldn't tell the six there for sure. Okay. 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. But now, yeah, he writes this clear out here, Acts chapter 20, which just happens to be about 20 years after the crucifixion. And he's writing, maybe even up to 25 years after the crucifixion, when he's writing, but now. It's manifested. It was not manifested until, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith, and here's another one of those seven places, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And amen to that. Every one of us is a sinner. Down to verse 23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what?
God.
Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? Those are such key verses. Now go back to Romans 4. Romans 4, talking about righteousness and talking about faith. 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Our justification. Right there is where I keep that definition. To pardon and clear from guilt, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. We sure deserve death. And to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior, or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. While we're in Romans, I'll end in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. He says that 7 times, by the way. My gospel. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now, another but now, is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to how many nations? All nations, for the obedience of faith, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Glorying in the cross, and that's what Galatians 6:14 is all about. We glory in the cross of Christ. God forbid that I should glory in anything, especially religious activities, save the cross of Christ. Amen.
We found out the other day that right here it says, this letter was written to